following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And a good Friday morning to you. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show. Randy Bushcutter, Jim Langan here with you on a Friday. Kind of cool out there and yeah, a little bit of rain. So Doug must be on a golf course somewhere because it's raining.
I think he's playing, isn't he, somewhere?
I think so, somewhere. Yeah.
I kind of heard it. I was listening earlier to some of the other broadcasts and sounded like he's going to be playing golf.
Yeah, he's slacking off. He's got a well-deserved day off, and I won't say that to his face, but he's got a well-deserved day off doing a little bit of golfing. But we still have plenty of things to talk about. Some changes with the Husker football program. One of the quarterbacks that was really probably the odds-on favorite to be the number two guy at Nebraska has decided he's going to transfer out. So we'll talk about Johnny Stanton here a little bit. Good recruiting news as well. So a little good and a little bit of bad for the Husker football program. Bad news probably for the Nebraska basketball program. Terran Pettaway not drafted last night. We'll talk about that a little bit as well. We'll also talk a little Nebraska Danger football and the IFL. We'll be talking with the commissioner of the IFL, Mike Allhouse, later in the show. And we'll also talk with Dirk Chatelain from the Omaha World Herald about Husker basketball, Pettaway, the College World Series, a myriad of other things. Looking forward to talking with Dirk as well. And Jimmy, how you doing? Your son had a nice game the other night. That was a lot of fun. It's always fun. Kearney, Grand Island in baseball or any sport. They played tiddlywinks. It'd be worth the cost of admission. But a nice game, and your son, not too many people get to have a walk-off, and he was able to do that the other night. That had to be fun as a dad.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun for him, too, and baseball means a lot to him. But hey, I'll tell you, the whole team played well. They had a pretty good game. And anytime Grand Island and Kearney go after it, it's kind of an exciting ideal. But Hastings is right there in the hunt. Hastings has been competing. They just haven't been able to win a close game late. But hey, they've got a good team. So all those teams in the Kearney, you know, Hastings, Grand Island area are playing pretty good baseball. And Post 52 is having a good season, and all four Kearney teams are playing well. So that's kind of exciting.
And that Grand Island team, 25-5 coming into the game with Kearney. So I mean, you know, that's a quality team. They're still going to be able to get their cuts out there, and it's just great to see all the local teams doing so well, and it has been a very, very good summer for baseball. And I think Hastings teams might be a little frustrated because they're better than their record indicates, because like you say, they've been in just about every game, but it's been very tight for them.
Right. I think the juniors in Hastings have won the Cornhusker, you know, league. Mm-hmm. And on this side, of course, because the Lincoln's on the other side, but you know, the Grand Island program has kind of dominated the last 2 years. This is the first loss they've had to a Cornhusker league team. You know, last year they went 12-0, and they hadn't lost this year, so that was their first loss in a 2 year period. So it's tough to beat them. And then Kearney finished 9-3 last year, so it's not like they were, they were in second place, right? But they still never could get that win over Grand Island. So it was kind of a fun win for them.
It was a good night for baseball. And again, both teams should walk up the field feeling pretty well, but, you know, again, it kind of comes down right down to the wire, which is what you expect when Kearney and Grand Island get together on most anything. Obviously, the Danger in town tonight, they'll be in Grand Island playing to try to make it into the championship game again as they try to win their conference title here tonight, and that's been kind of a real tradition for them. Are you working the game tonight?
I am not. And usually what they do is they bring in a different crew. Mm-hmm. I think the South Sioux City crew is working the game in Grand Island. You know, it's a crew out of that South Sioux City area, right. And they're kind of they're working that game. And so I'm not for sure who's working the South Sioux City game. You know what crew has
another group came in
right,
from there.
Exactly.
But that makes sense, I guess, in the playoffs. And it makes sense you go local for all your home games, except in the playoffs, and then you don't want to have any kind of even the possibility, you know, even the possibility that somebody's talking about, well, that's a little bit of home cooking, because, again, you just don't need to have those kind of headaches at all. So
yeah,
that makes sense.
And, you know, financially, they just don't have enough money to send crews all over all
year every game.
Long.
No.
You know, it just, it's not worth it. When the players are making $450 and $350 a game, you know what I mean? They sure don't want to be paying the officials more.
Right. Yeah. And, again, if you got, you have to put them up probably if you bring them in from very far and that added expense as well. Did you get a chance to watch much of the College World Series? Because, again, I know Wednesday night, the third championship game, you were a little busy watching the local baseball.
I went to watch the entire first game and did not get to see one pitch of the second game. But the third game, I got to see the end of it and watched. The game was already, all the runs had been scored. But I enjoyed watching it. And I would like to brag about myself a little bit here because I was one of the few people that said I liked Virginia in that, even though Vanderbilt was a heavy favorite in the first game. You know, Vanderbilt was an extremely heavy favorite with the pitcher they had, and Virginia didn't look very well, and I thought, I think I gave everybody the wrong team. But I think there's something about watching somebody celebrate it the year before.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's some incentive here going, now we only got three games to go, and I remember playing these guys. I think Virginia might have lost to anybody in the College World Series, except for Vanderbilt in the finals, you know what I mean? But they beat a good Florida team too. So
they just really kind of had that element of being a team of destiny. And we'll talk a little bit about that with Dirk Chatelain from the Omaha World Herald here later. I don't know how much you follow the NBA. Were you surprised Petaway did not get selected at all? In fact, I thought it was interesting that, you know, they had that top 10 with the ESPN coverage last night, top 10 best players available. You know, obviously, first draft pick, you got the top 10 guys, you know, all lottery guys on that list. Well, at the end of the draft, finally poking his head in at number 10, 10th best available player, meaning that he's probably about 70th in the league, was Terran Petaway. But were you surprised that he didn't get drafted?
I guess, I watched him play all year long. And, Nebraska really did not have a lot of success. And I know he can score, but I guess, you know, when I watched Kentucky play, and I thought, boy, any of the Kentucky guys I thought would help Nebraska.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And so I guess I wasn't amazed. And for me to pretend like I know that much about it is, I mean, I know quite a bit about it, maybe more than the average person in the area, but I sure don't know as much as these guys when they're talking about, you know, drafting these guys overseas and et cetera, and exactly what they're looking for. But if Petaway, I guess, you know, to me, if you're going to be drafted in the first two rounds, let's just say, that you probably better make more of an impact in the Big Ten than he did. Even though he's a good scorer, mm-hmm. We did not win a lot of games, and he took a lot of shots.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it wasn't like he was—
That
you
was
know,
his role, though.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. I understand that. But, I didn't think he made that big of an impact this year. Last year as a junior, I think he'd have gone in the first two rounds.
Yeah, I think he would have, too.
That's what's weird about basketball.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're only as good. And, you know, they tried him out. He's close. He was close in this area. But you know how many guys are close? I mean, there's a lot of basketball
players. There's probably another 25, 30 guys.
Yeah,
that's why they have a developmental league.
Exactly correct. I agree.
In fact, they were kind of talking about the first half of the second round, fairly good odds that they're going to make their roster. They're going to be on their team. But the second half of the second round, it's a coin flip whether or not they're actually going to play ever. In the uniform of the team that drafted them, they will go to a developmental league somewhere, and they'll get a signing bonus, blah, blah, blah. They'll get all that stuff. But it's still only half and half of those drafted in the second half of the second round that'll even play for, insert team name here, you know, whoever drafted them. So Petaway is not in completely dire straits, but I almost think he'd been better off if he would have came back and played one more year at Nebraska, which he was eligible to do, see if he could have his junior year again before he had his fifth senior year, his not exactly redshirt year, but that he had one more senior year that he could have played.
Yeah,
he
correct.
Might have been better off if he would have waited.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I don't know how much money, you know, there's a big difference in your signing bonus, but excuse me, but I don't know how much money the difference is whether he got selected late or if he makes somebody's team. You know, mm-hmm. his main thing is to make the roster. He's got to make an 11-man roster someplace.
Yeah, yeah. And again, he's actually signed with Atlanta. He's going to be on their developmental team, so he's going to be going to the Hawks. And again, sometimes you're better off being that free agent where you can kind of pick the team versus the team picking you. So hopefully this will work out for Taran Pettaway because I think he represents himself well. I think he represents the university well. He's a kid that with his issues with his mother being ill and all that stuff, he's a kid I think it's pretty easy to root for him and certainly hopes that it does work out for him.
It's kind of an interesting story about that developmental league. There's a league in Las Vegas where they play. And it's the teams, and they never take like the number one and two draft picks. They're not on that. You know, they've said, oh, you're already on the team. But these other guys, and they bring them in Vegas, and what they'll do, they'll have about 10 guys, and they'll practice. Maybe it'll be 12. But sometimes they have 10, and then they get some high school kids or some people in the area that are pretty good athletes, and they'll bring them in for a practice, too, so they have enough guys to scrimmage. Mm-hmm. You know, but they're not looking at those two guys. They just pay them a little bit of money or, you know, hey, thanks a lot, you know, and it's an opportunity for them to be seen. And they'll pay these high schools to use the gymnasium. You know, they'll say, hey, we need your gymnasium. Well, we got a basketball camp this week. Well, for $5,000, you care if we use it from 11 to 1? No, we'll work around.
We'll be good.
Yeah, we'll work around you, you know.
Cheerleaders have practice.
Yeah, your ACT test might be moved, you know. But anyway, to make a long story short, is that one of the coaches up there, my brother-in-law coaches, and he just happened to get to watch the practice. And when he brought him in, he said, hey, there's three things I'm going to tell you. And number one, we're going to have some referees in here. And he says, don't complain to them. He says, you get fouled. Everybody knows you might have got fouled. Don't complain to them. You got one thing you need to do. You got to get back on defense. He said, the other thing, if you score or you turn the ball over, you don't have to let anybody know. We already know you scored and you made the turnover. Don't tell anybody. You just hurry up and get back on defense. And the third thing is, get back on defense. And I thought it was interesting because I never realized how important that was. Because those NBA players are so good that if you don't sprint back on defense, they'll take advantage of you and get a transition layup.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what they're trying to get. No one wants to get into the 24-second shot clock thing. That's hard to score there. It's easy to score if somebody's not getting back on defense and you can get a half step on them, and they're very vulnerable on that. So I didn't realize it was that critical to get back on defense, because in high school basketball, usually that's not, you know, people aren't taking advantage of it that much. Now, there's some schools that are.
Yeah, some will.
But in the NBA, it was amazing to me how important it was to get back on defense. That's the number one thing they want them to do.
And I'd be interested to see this, but I think we all kind of know what the percentage of this would be. Percentage of shots that go in the first 5 seconds of a shot clock in the NBA versus the last 5 seconds of the shot clock in the NBA.
Unbelievable.
I bet the shooting percentage is triple, at least triple what that is. Our discussion kind of leading into a little bit of our Midtown Mark Cooler question for today. Let's talk about yesterday's first. Yesterday's question, which we have the results of today, is what is your favorite level of baseball in the summer? During the summertime, what is your favorite level of baseball? Little League, Legion Baseball, College Baseball, or the Bigs and Major League? And what are your thoughts? I mean, Legion Dad here, I think I'm trying to, maybe I'm pushing in a direction, but of the four, what would you generally say is true?
I think anything that is run correctly. If it's ran correctly, it's good. If Little League's run correctly and it isn't Kearney, it's fun to watch. Legion Baseball and Kearney's one run correctly, it's fun to watch. If, you know, not everybody's Little League program or their Legion program is run correctly, but in Kearney, we are very fortunate to have both programs run correctly, so we can enjoy both. Of course, college baseball is run correctly, and Major League Baseball is definitely run correctly. So I think they're all. How could you pick one?
Most everybody did.
Yeah, I guess Major League Baseball is probably going to take this all. But you know, if you ask that question in October, Major League Baseball is going to win. Hell, Little League's about over.
Yeah, yeah. You know? By that time, it is wrapped up. And again, I think that the aspect of in the summer, which one do you pay the most attention to, is what kind of draws that. If I was only looking at the summer, most years I probably would say college baseball. To be honest with you, because again, in the fall when you make that transition, that's that's when I really like Major League Baseball. But Major League Baseball did win the vote. They got 50% of the vote. Little League got 25% of the vote. And then Legion and College Baseball kind of split that other 12.5%. So your winner was Major League Baseball with 50% and Little League with 25%, their favorite level of baseball in the summer. Today's Midtown Mart cooler question, a pretty simple one. Will Terran Pettaway make an NBA roster? Yes or no? Does Pettaway make an NBA roster?
I think he will.
I think he's got a shot. I mean, if I got to pick one, and those are the two options we have, I probably would say that he's going to make it as well. That'll be one of the questions we ask Dirk Chatterlain, our friend from the Omaha World Herald, when we get a hold of him. And we'll talk with Mad Chatter when we come back as we continue with more of the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Cornhusker Honda presents a reality check. You don't have to shop all over to find your new Honda. Just head to Cornhusker Honda in Grand Island. You'll find great savings right now on America's most reliable cars and trucks. Plus, financing as low as 0.9% for up to 60 months with your good credit. That's savings for the long haul. The reality is the right choice is right here. Cornhusker Honda, just off North Highway 281 in Grand Island.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farming is your livelihood, and we understand that. After all, the companies of Farm Bureau Financial Services were originally founded to serve the unique insurance and financial services needs of farmers. Contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney and learn how they make it simple to help you select the coverage that's right for you today and provide options for the future of your growing operation. Call Rich Peters or Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
An isolated shower, thunder shower is possible early today, especially to the east of Kearney. Otherwise, partly sunny skies develop with a high at 79. Tonight, with clear skies, we'll head down to 58 for a low. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 66.
And welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show. Just kind of chatting off air with Jim Lang in here. Got a little distracted. Also distracted by the fact that we got to talk about Big Dally's Deli, the home of a bazillion and one sandwiches. Couple locations to serve you. 610 East South Street in Hastings and in downtown Hastings at 801 West 2nd Street. So right across from Duncan Field. We've been talking a little baseball as well as in downtown Hastings. All the sandwiches you know are served with your choice of freshly baked bread or a bun, cheese, fresh veggies, condiments, dill pickles, spear on the side, and the side items include chips, potato salad, fruit cups, side salad, homemade soup in a cup or a bowl, desserts, cookies, more. And Big Dally's Deli also offers those great meat and cheese trays as well as their 2-foot-long sandwiches for special events. 4th of July is coming up. You can get that set up next week and have the meal taken care of as you're kind of just grazing around your house for the 4th of July weekend. So call ahead for current pricing and special orders at Big Daly's Deli, home of a bazillion and one sandwiches, because too many is certainly better than not quite enough. So check them out at Big Daly's Deli. As promised, our friend Dirk Chatelain from the Omaha World Herald now joins us as we're kind of still talking a little bit about Johnny Stanton and Taran Pettaway. Dirk, it's good to hear from you. How are you doing today?
Pretty well. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right. I think we're in a better mood this morning than probably Taran Pettaway is. What do you think about his decision to come out and the fact that he did not get drafted last night?
Well, not a big surprise. I think even back in March or April, I guess, when he declared, I thought it was unlikely that he would be drafted. I know he had big expectations, and he thought that he could get into those private workouts and prove that he was a first rounder. I think it would have made his path to the league easier. But for instance, if he goes number 48 or number 53 in the draft, I don't think there's a huge difference between that and going undrafted and signing as a free agent. You know, he's going to play summer league ball with the Atlanta Hawks. That's according to Lee Barfnik. And he's going to have a chance this summer to turn some heads. And if he plays well, he may get an opportunity in training camp this fall. So I don't think it's going to be a big surprise to anybody. It's probably not a big surprise to Taran Pettaway either. He's sort of taken the hard road to get to Nebraska. He went through Texas Tech and went through some difficult things down there, and now he's going to have to do it again to get into the NBA. I think the bigger thing for Taran is he's just got to get better. You know, his skills have to get better. He's got to become a better decision maker. He's probably going to have to become, an elite defender at the NBA level and also an elite three-point shooter. And both of those skills, he's got a long way to go in those areas.
You know, another thing, too, is a lot of teams will take a guy for 2 years in the NBA. Those guys that are sitting in there and they're their 9th, 10th, and 11th player, they're new guys that they're going to give them an opportunity to play for about 2 years. So that third year is the key year after that. After the third year, and because of some retirement money and some money that they give the players on that third year, they become quite expensive to the team to keep. So there are a lot of players that last 2 years. I think he's going to make that team, and I don't know if he'll make it past those 2 years, but if he can sure make some money and have an opportunity then maybe to go overseas. Your thoughts?
Well, I think, again, he's at the NBA level, you kind of fit into and it's changed a little bit over the past few years, but if you're not just a dynamic point guard, if you're not a 6'8 wing, that can really run and jump. If you're like Taran, who's probably 6'5", maybe 6'5 and a half, and he jumps well, he moves well, but he's not an elite NBA athlete. He's an average NBA athlete. And I think those guys they fall into two categories. The guys that make the league fall into two categories. They have to be great shooters and they have to be great defenders. Those are the guys that you put on a Steph Curry, go out and guard him, Taran, hold him to 20 instead of 30. So I think those are the two key areas. I don't think he can become a point guard at the NBA level. I don't think he's got the athletic ability or the decision making skills to do that. But I think he can become, with a lot of work, a great three-point shooter and a great defender. And again, I think those are the two critical skills where if he's going to make a roster and become a contributor, it's going to be in those areas. It's not going to be easy because there are hundreds of guys who are sort of in the same boat that he is. They're playing in Europe right now. They're playing in the NBDL. They got drafted or are signing free agent deals, as we speak. But I think Turan's got a chance because he's got a lot of fire. He's very motivated. He's proven that he can, you know, that he can do this once. You know, there weren't a lot of people that believed in him 3 years ago when he came to Nebraska and became a great player at Nebraska. So I think he's got a chance, but those are the two areas, shooting and defense, that he's really got to take another step.
Randy Bushcutter, Jimmy Langan here on the Doug and Daddy Show, talking with Dirk Chatelain from the Omaha World Herald. I guess time to make the transition over to football, where we are still kind of in Nebraska here. So I guess the news that comes out of the Husker program yesterday, the biggest news, although there's some good news in there, and maybe this is good news for Johnny Stanton, maybe it isn't, but he's decided he's going to transfer out to California. Talk a little bit about his decision and what it means for him, the program, and the race for backup quarterback.
Well, you guys, I mean, this is just another casualty of the position. This is just the way that college football is, and it's become, over the last 10 years, the majority of Division I quarterback recruits transfer within their time or quit football or whatever. They don't ever play it down, and I think the writing has been on the wall for several months. Tommy Armstrong has distinguished himself as a guy who's clearly the front runner going into fall camp. Nebraska went out and signed or got commitments for the next recruiting class from two quarterbacks that everybody feels pretty good about that are going to be pretty highly regarded kids. And I think Stanton probably looked down the line and realized that, hey, my chances of becoming a starting quarterback at Nebraska are very slim. And part of that is probably system. I know that Riley and Johnny Stanton had a relationship. I talked to Johnny Stanton's dad at the Holiday Bowl, and, you know, he spoke very highly of Mike Riley. They knew each other from the recruiting trail a couple of years ago. There was a relationship there, but I don't think that Stanton's skill set, you know, fit perfectly with Mike Riley's background. And I don't think that Stanton, you know, made the progress that everybody kind of hoped that he would make, upon coming to campus a couple of years ago. So it's, it probably hurts the quarterback position a little bit this year if Tommy would go down. You've got A.J. Bush in there. But I think, you know, looking ahead to 2016 is probably when Stanton really saw saw two quarterback commitments coming in that recruiting class and decided, you know, this isn't looking real good long term. So I don't think it was unexpected, and I think for Johnny and his chances of playing at the college level, it's probably a good move.
I know out here in central Nebraska, people, when they heard that news, first name that probably came to their mind was, how does this impact Riker Fife? You mentioned A.J. Bush earlier. Is he the two guy? Does this open the door a little bit more to Riker Fife? You know, how does this impact the race for number two and Fife in particular?
Well, I think Riker's got he's got a chance to be number two. There's not a ton of competition this fall for that number two spot. So I think Riker, I think he's got as good a chance as anybody, including A.J. Bush. We'll see. I mean, we'll learn more in fall camp. But I really do think that Riker's got a chance. And, you know, it's sort of the odd circumstance where you don't really want to see that happen because it means that Tommy Armstrong has gotten hurt or something happened to him. But I think it would be a heck of a story if Riker got a chance.
Yeah, you brought up, you brought up a great point about the quarterbacks. I can remember when Van Bronson, Jerry Taggy, and Van Bronson were co-quarterbacks, basically, and Taggy took over, won the national championship, and it had to be hard for Van Bronson, Brooke Behringer, Tommy Fraser, even Jeff Quinn. I remember Tim Hager came in for Jeff Quinn and was the ABC player of the game against Penn State. Nebraska was down a bunch. He came in and led a big rally and was the player of the game with Jeff Quinn. And you talked about Kellogg and Armstrong got their chance with Taylor Martinez.
you know, for whatever reason, it just didn't work out with Stanton, and they were really hoping he was going to be better than he was. But they told him in June that he was not going to make this 105-man or 125-man roster. They basically said, your career is over at Nebraska. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, you mentioned some good historical references there. I mean, Eric Crouch, Bobby Newcomb is another good one. You know, that's a Newcomb, you know, won that job in 1998 and, you know, got hurt and suddenly it became Eric Crouch's job and the rest is history. So, you know, things happen. But I think it became clear to everyone involved, both inside and outside, that Johnny had just sort of gotten jumped. And again, I can't overstate this point, but you know, when you look down the line at next year, I mean, the first quarterback recruit of a coaching regime or the first quarterback recruits are really critical pieces of the big puzzle. I mean, it's, you know, you look at the two guys coming in next year. The coaching staff is going to have a ton invested in those guys. They're going to get every chance in the world to advance as fast as possible because it's their recruits. It's those guys are fitting their system. You know, you as a coach, you kind of dream of that kid that comes in and wins the job as a freshman and he's your guy for 4 years. So I think it was one thing looking around at the depth chart and saying, you know, look who else is around me. I'm not going to beat out Tommy Armstrong. But then there was the other piece of, you know, look who's coming behind me. And I think that was just as big in this puzzle as who is ahead of Johnny Stanton right now.
A couple more minutes here with Dirk Chatelain from the Omaha World Herald. Okay, his departure was the news yesterday, but the arrival of Fort Pierce Central linebacker Greg Simmons, I think there's a lot of excitement about that linebacker recruit. And again, I really think that the university is doing a great job of recruiting the first year that Riley's bringing in his own class from top to bottom. Your thoughts about the signing yesterday and where the recruiting class is in general?
Well, they're sure getting after it this summer. I mean, that's the any thoughts that they were going to sort of slow play guys and, you know, wait to see what happened during their senior year. I mean, that's not happening. I mean, they're going out and they're getting guys as many and as quickly as they can. They trust the evaluation process and they know that if they want to get these guys, they gotta put on the full court press early. And I think that's just sort of the way that college football is going. It makes some people uncomfortable. I think it made the last coaching staff a little bit uncomfortable to be, you know, to be really aggressive this early in the process. But, you know, for Nebraska to turn the corner, they've got to offer these guys early. I think they've got to get commitments, and then they've got to hope, they've got to trust their evaluation process and hope that they can develop these players into the types of guys that Michigan and Ohio State look back on and say, gosh darn it, why didn't we land that kid? So, you know, they're adding to the tally pretty quickly. And, I think the Simmons kid is a player that Trent Bray, you know, really likes. It'll be really interesting to see, you know, just how big this class gets, because typically that first recruiting class, the first full year that a coaching staff has to recruit, that class becomes pretty big. You know, if you think back to 2005, that was a recruiting class of more than 30 players. You know, will this one get that big? I don't think so, but at some point, these coaches, you know, there is attrition, and these coaches want as many players as possible that they recruited. So I have a feeling that this 2016 recruiting class is going to end up, you know, a pretty big one, not only in terms of number of guys, but also the importance. I mean, they've really got to hit a home run with this class, and I think they're off to a pretty good start.
Yeah, Dirk, great point about
getting after it. I agree with you, and you know, I think it's so important as a coach. You have to trust your evaluation. I think that is such a critical point. And even if it doesn't work out, so what? It was your evaluation. The only thing they can do is fire you. I mean, and let's be honest about it. You look at the Kansas City Royals, and this is a great example for our listeners, is what they did with Moustakas, Hosmer, and Gordon. Those guys didn't have careers that they just started out, and they were batting 350, and everything was going smooth. They all were batting under 200 for a while, and they were all struggling. But they trusted their evaluation. They'd send them back to Omaha. They'd find a new place for them to play. They'd find a position because they knew that was who they were good. They could trust. And now look, you know, they're four games up, and they've been to the World Series. So, you know, you got to trust your evaluation. Dirk, I really appreciate you saying that because that's one thing I see in this coaching staff. They got after it, and they are not lazy. They're going all over the United States trying to find players.
Well, they are, and again, you're talking about a coaching staff that was pretty highly regarded on the West Coast and in the Pac-12. I talked to the Oregon Ducks offensive line coach back in January, and you know, I said sort of like, you know, what is the staff known for? And the first thing you said was, you know, talent development. I mean, they were very widely known for being able to take, you know, sort of underrated prospects, two-star, three-star kids, and make them better players where they were really competitive. And the Sean Eichhorst basically made a gamble that Mike Riley could take that same template that worked for two-star kids at Oregon State, and he could do the same thing for three-star kids at Nebraska. He could take a little bit higher level recruit and turn that player into, you know, the type of player that, again, the big schools looking back are kicking themselves that they didn't identify. And this is all happening pretty early on. I mean, Nebraska has double-digit commits for the class of 2016. That is unusual at a place like Nebraska to have that many commits this early in the process. But when Nebraska made this hire, a big part of it was trusting that Mike Riley knew how to evaluate talent. So I guess if you believe in Mike Riley, the talent evaluator, then you take all these commitments and you say, hey, this is really good news because he knows what he wants and he's going out and he's getting it.
Dirk Chatelain from the Omaha World Herald. I want you to kind of help me put a bow on the College World Series a little bit. Your article this week, your column this week, you kind of mentioned the question, is the College World Series too long? I want to ask you that. And also going along with that is the new ballpark has been around for 5 years. Are people still kind of comparing it to Rosenblatt, or does it really kind of feel like TD Ameritrade now truly is the home of the College World Series?
Well, your first point about the speed or the length of the series, I think it feels like two different College World Series. You know, there's the first week where everybody's in town and there's games basically every day, and then there's sort of they take a break and then there becomes the championship series week. And the fact that it's split into two different weeks, I think, is hard for some people. There's a little bit of CWS fatigue. You know, I understand why they do it. I mean, they want that championship series they want those teams to have as much rest as possible. They want them to have their full arsenal of pitchers. I think when you go into that second week, it does get a little bit long. I don't think that's going to change, though, because ESPN wants it that way. So, you know, it's not the way that it used to be where the CWS finished on a weekend. You know, even when they went to the three-game championship series, those first several years, it was Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I think that's preferable. But ESPN has spoken on the issue, and they, you know, they want programming on weeknights during the last week of June where, frankly, there's not a lot of other stuff going on. So that's just going to be the way it is. Your second point about Rosenblatt and 5 years at TD Ameritrade, I think it really depends on who you ask. I mean, it's sort of got into the College World Series, you know, during the Rosenblatt era, I still even to this day, when the series comes up, my first thought is, oh, cool, Rosenblatt, you know, and then you kind of have to remind yourself that it's not there anymore. I think a lot of people feel that way. I think a lot of older people feel that way. There was an atmosphere, there was an intimacy to that venue that TD Ameritrade really cannot emulate or, you know, come close to replacing. But on the other hand, I think there's especially a younger generation of people in Omaha that have really gotten into TVA. They love the place. They love the space in that part of town. You know, you're not parking in people's yards. There's plenty of room to move around. The stadium inside has big concourses. There's a lot to like about it. But I don't think that it would be a stretch to say that this is not the College World Series that most people fell in love with. So it will grow over time, but I don't think 5 years is enough to wipe memories of Rosenblatt off the map yet.
All right. Well, I'd agree. And by the way, I do feel old because I always think of Rosenblatt. That's the first thing that comes to my mind as well. Dirk, just love talking to you. Is there anything else you want to kind of throw out there before we say goodbye?
No, just always enjoy being on with you guys. And you're going into the slow part of the year, so I feel for you trying to come up with new topics in July. It's always tough.
Yeah, but well, you know, we can just call you and you'll fill it up. Yeah, you're always a great guest, Dirk. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Dirk Chatelain from the Omaha World Herald. And again, if you're not following him or taking a look at his work, follow his column at the World Herald, Mad Chatter. It's time for us to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk a little IFL with the commish. We'll talk with Mike Allhouse right after this.
Crazy Burn is the latest, hottest weight loss product exclusively being sold at the Hastings, Kearney, and Grand Island GNCs. Are you looking to get fit and slim down for summer? Crazy Burn has ephedra effects resulting in more energy, appetite suppression, and amazing weight loss. Start working on that beach body today. Don't go mad hoping for something to work. Get crazy with Crazy Burn and start getting results today. Available exclusively at your Hastings GNC just north of Walmart, the Kearney GNC in the Hilltop Mall, and the Grand Island GNC in the Conestoga Mall.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
I call Kearney Crete & Block for all my landscaping bricks and paver.
We called Kearney Crete & Block when we decided to do an outdoor kitchen, fire pit, and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
This week at Custom Pack of Hastings, get fresh homemade bacon cheddar bratwurst, only $2.98 a pound. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Top Sirloin Steak, only $6.75 a pound. And Boneless Center Cut Pork Loin Roast, only $2.57 a pound. It's all at Custom Pack of Hastings.
At Custom Pack, you're a neighbor, not a number.
A few years ago, we decided as a company to drop the big franchise name so that we could invest the franchise dollars locally in the good things Kearney has to offer. And in that, I mean the people and what we do for each other. This is Tim Norwood with NP Realty.
NP Realty is excited to support the Community Olympics in Kearney this weekend. The Community Olympics helps build a stronger Kearney. Have fun and stay safe this weekend.
NP Realty, developing dreams.
Your Nebraska Danger is rushing for a three-peat. Will they score? Find out as the Danger hosts the intense conference championship game tonight, taking on the Tri-City Fever at 7 o'clock at the Heartland Event Center. It's been an incredible season, so let's keep the excitement rolling. All the tickets are just $10 and available now at the Heartland Event Center box office, Ticketmaster, or area pump and pantries. Come fill the stands and cheer on the Danger for an intense conference championship three-peat. Fueled by Pump and Pantry, DangerFootball.com.
You don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't speed into the wind.
And welcome back here to the Doug and Eddie Show at the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. You know, for the month of June, you can get 0% APR for 60 months. That maps out to about 5 years right there with approved credit on a 2015 Cruze, Malibu, Traverse, Impala, and Camaro models. See Midway's full inventory online at thinkmidway.com. Midway has also 50 Chevrolet trucks in stock right there on the premises. You can receive supplier pricing on the 2015 Silverado 1500 Crew Cab LT models. And again, that inventory is at thinkmidway.com. Also, congratulations to all graduates from Midway. You've earned something special. Now own something special. The 2015 College Grad Program offers special incentives if you graduate from college in the last 2 years, will graduate in the next 6 months, or are currently enrolled in a master's or doctoral program. You'll receive $500 cash allowance on new Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, or Ram vehicles. Visit Midway on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney for more details. And again, I could give you some more details, but we'll be here for the rest of the show. Always something good going on at Midway Chevrolet, Chrysler, Dodge, GMC, Buick. They've got it all. Just check out their inventory of new and used vehicles at thinkmidway.com. Busy weekend. You know, it is still football season for a couple of weeks left. As you just heard during our commercial break, the advertisement for the Nebraska Danger hosting the intense conference championship game this weekend, tonight, in fact. And in town to watch that is the commissioner of the Indoor Football League, Mike Allhouse, who joins us now here on the Doug and Jaddy Show. Mr. Commissioner, thanks for joining us. Appreciate your time.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, you know, around the time of the Super Bowl, the commissioner of the NFL kind of gives the state of the league address. You don't really have something quite so formal with the IFL, but let me ask you the question. What is the state of the IFL right now?
The state of the IFL is that we're looking forward to two great weekends left here in the 2015 season. Obviously, it's championship game day here in Grand Island, Nebraska. With the Fever taking on the Danger, it should be an exciting atmosphere. We got another championship game taking on tomorrow night in Sioux Falls with the Storm playing the Cedar Rapids Titans. So very exciting times here towards the end of the season as we wind down the 2015 Indoor Football League season. And we're also very excited about putting some plans in place and implementing those plans and getting ready for the 2016 season and beyond. So great things ahead here. In 2015 still, and then obviously bigger and better things hopefully in 2016 and beyond here for the Indoor Football League.
Hey, great. Hey, this is Jim Langan, and I've officiated about 15 or 20 games there in the IFL and all of course, in Nebraska. And I was going to say this, that the evaluator that we have does a great job. I mean, every time we go out and officiate, they come back within about 3 days. We have films we watch where he's always trying to make us better people and help us quite a bit. It's an intense thing. We don't get paid very much. I know the players don't get paid very much, but this is a great product. Some of these players are just one step away from the NFL. A lot of them are not. A lot of them, you know, this is as high as level they're going to go. But some of these players are just one step away. And I've noticed that about every year, about two teams drop out of the league and about two teams come back in. Is that about what's going to happen next year, or are all the teams coming back?
Yeah, I appreciate all the compliments there, Jim. Obviously, we try our best here from the league off standpoint, and it's no exception with Tom Falcinelli, our director of officiating. I think this is his third season in the IFL league office, and he's really revolutionized our officiating department and a couple of things that you described, the training videos that he does, the evaluations, the grading of officials. Our top three crews from this season that graded out will be calling our three playoff games. So, you know, we're awarding the better officials with championship games here this weekend and in a couple weeks in the United Bowl. So I agree. He's really done a great job, and we've really improved leaps and bounds in the officiating department here in the past couple of seasons. And you're correct about the players as well. You know, the IFL, you know, if you're not playing in the NFL, the CFL, or the AFL, you know, we're right there in the Indoor Football League. There's not a lot of roster spots on in the NFL. Every year there's thousands of players that get cut from training camp rosters. And the IFL is a good landing spot for some of those younger gentlemen that want to continue their professional career at the minor league level to gain more film so that they get another shot at the CFL or the NFL. So that's really one of the main purposes that we're in existence here in the IFL is to help our players develop and improve them and get them to the next level.
Well,
to answer your question about the teams, you know, I anticipate all 10 of our teams returning for next year. And again, in minor league sports, it's usually there's a lot of uncertainty and ambiguity sometimes in these minor league sports, and the IFL is no stranger to that, although I'd like to think that we have proven ourselves to be one of the most stable and structured franchises that is out there, especially in indoor football. But as of right now, today, I anticipate all 10 of our teams returning next year, which, again, is unheard of at this level, and I anticipate quite a few teams joining as well for the 2016 season.
Well, you mentioned the level of talent in the league. Anybody that's seen Sewell throw the ball around the last few years for the Nebraska Danger will testify to the amount of talent there. In the leagues, a lot of times people think that to propagate a league, to improve a league, you know, the word they always use is parity. The Nebraska Danger are in their third straight conference championship game this year. Obviously, Sioux Falls has had a tremendous amount of success winning a couple straight conference and league championships. They're 14-0 this year. Is parity something you guys kind of strive for? And if so, how is that going? Because, again, it seems right now it's Sioux Falls League and everybody else is just playing in it.
Well, definitely something that, you know, when you look at the NFL, you see, you know, different teams competing all the time for championship games, although they have their little mini dynasties as well with the Patriots and obviously the Seahawks have been very competitive here in recent years. But parity is something that you always strive for in a professional sports league, especially at the minor league level. You know, the Sioux Falls Storm are a first-class organization, so is the Nebraska Danger, and we have quite a few of those in our league as well. And here recently, they've been able to put together not only on the field but off the field and have really excelled in our league and gives all the other teams in our league certainly something to strive for to compete both on and off the field with some of the great franchises that we have here throughout the Indoor Football League. Although the standings this year, again, you know, you look at Sioux Falls is undefeated, you know, Nebraska with 10 or 9 wins, Cedar Rapids with 9 or 10 wins, and Tri-Cedar with 8 or 9 wins, and there's a little bit of gap between the non-playoff teams. If you look at the games each and every weekend in our league, you're talking about one possession games, 7, 10-point victories, you know, even a three-possession victory, three-score victory. In the Indoor Football League, you guys know this game. Anybody who's seen a game in person, three scores can come really fast in a matter of seconds in this sport. So although we didn't see the complete parity in the standings as far as wins and losses, I think if you look at each game individually in a given weekend, you'd see a highly competitive week in, week out, quite a few upsets this year throughout the season as well. And I think it's something that we're going to continue to improve upon and grow upon here in the very near future in the IFL.
Hey, are there any rule changes they're looking at for next year? You may not know that yet, but you know, I know one of the things that has happened is they have to have positive yards, like in the last minute of the game. You know, if somebody, you just can't take a knee like you can in the NFL because your game is about scoring and points. I mean, it's really a little bit more of an offensive an advantage. Your thoughts, or do you have any idea if they're making any type of rule changes?
You know, on the field rule changes is something that we definitely will start to address during the off season, starting here at the end of July once our season is over. You're right, the last minute timing rule, positive yardage rule as it's called in the IFL, is something that we implemented last year. I think it's been a great change for our league. Where you're right, you know, you can't bleed out the clock anymore if you're winning by a narrow margin and the offensive team has the ball. We want that team to try to, you know, advance and to get positive yardage. And if not, it basically counts as a timeout for the defense. And it builds for a great, exciting finish to these games. It gets really excitement for the fans, where if the team's not out of it, even though they may be out of timeouts, well, hey, if you have a pretty good defensive stand, you guys can be getting right back into the game and get the ball back for your offense. So I'm sure there's a number of those possibilities that we'll look at this offseason. Obviously, we'll get officials opinions and input in, as well as our coaches, before we actually implement any of those rules. But I would anticipate quite a few for next season as well.
Honored to have the commissioner of the Indoor Football League, Mike Allhouse, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Mike, one of the things that kind of struck me when it happened, I just think a little bit about the branding of indoor football, and to have the Iowa Barnstormers, the team that gave us Kurt Warner, really, to have them in the IFL, it seems to me that's a major get for the league in terms of having a recognizable franchise and giving you guys a little bit of a shot in the arm.
You know, they were a great addition to the Indoor Football League. The Iowa Barnstormers, a team that's probably the most historic and iconic in all of arena or indoor football. So it was definitely a very great addition for us, working with Mr. Jeff Lamberti and Mr. John Pettit, two of the members who own and operate that team there in Grand Island. They have just been a great asset to our league, a lot of knowledge, great professionalism. Really been a big boost for us here at the Indoor Football League. Anytime you can add a good quality team with good quality ownership, that's going to be a productive playing partner in the IFL for a long time. Again, it's a good feather in the cap for the league, and it's no exception there with the Barnstormers as well. We're hoping that success in attracting some of these great teams from other leagues will be something that we can build upon in the next few years as well.
Last question for me is, what was the attendance like? Like I said, I refereed in the Nebraska Danger game. I noticed when I watched videos of other games, it seemed like maybe the attendance wasn't quite as well. I think maybe throughout the league, but I'm not for sure. So my question to you is, what has the attendance been this year, and what's it been like throughout?
You know, the past 3 years, we've really focused on our teams, really getting out, getting in the community, supporting the community, and in turn, the community supporting the IFL teams that host the cities that host our teams. And we've seen great success over the past 3 years in improving our attendance at the box office. This year especially, we broke IFL box office attendance records league-wide. The league-wide average for IFL fans or IFL attended games was over 4,000 fans per game this year, which is the first time ever in the history of the IFL that we've had a league-wide average over 4,000. So very exciting. You know, again, it's a testament to the hard work that our teams are doing in the community, but it's also a testament to the great communities that house our teams, and they're getting out and supporting their local professional minor league football team. So we're very excited about our numbers both on and off the field, and it's really given us some positive reinforcement that we're on the right track here as the Indoor Football League, and it gives us something to build upon for future years as well.
Wrapping things up here with the commissioner of the Indoor Football League, Mike Allhouse, in town as Grand Island will host the conference championship game tonight at 7 o'clock at the Heartland Event Center. Mr. Commissioner, what else do you want to talk about? What else can just kind of wrap this up for us? Is there something else you want to touch on?
Well, my first trip here to Grand Island, Nebraska, I got in yesterday and very much enjoying my time here. Very gracious hospitality by the Danger in the city here at Grand Island. Looking forward to a very competitive game tonight for the Intense Conference Championship. Again, whoever wins this game out on the field, they're going to earn it. It's going to be a battle, both sides, offense, defense, special teams, and I think it's going to come down to the wire. You know, these teams played earlier in the season, and Tri-City defended their home turf earlier in the year, and Grand Island and the Danger here have been hot of late. And obviously, when you have a player like Jamil Sewell on your team, anything can happen. You know, he's one of the best players in our league, former MVP, probably in contention for the MVP award this year as well. So anytime you got a dynamic player like that, you always give yourself a chance to win. And Coach Shackelford with the Fever and Coach Davis with the Danger are longtime veterans of this game. They know the game very well, and I expect nothing else than a well-coached, competitive, action-packed game tonight. And we'll do the same thing tomorrow night in Sioux Falls with the Cedar Rapids Titans and the Sioux Falls Storm going at it. And then in July for the United Bowl, whichever two teams advance, I'm sure it'll be no different during that game as well. So very exciting times here at the IFL. It's playoff time. It's exciting. We're very excited about the direction of our league, and we're hoping to put a cap and crown off this 2015 season with some competitive games here the last couple weeks.
Well, Mr. Commissioner, it was great spending some time with you. Best of luck moving forward, and congratulations on really wrapping up a great year.
Thank you, gentlemen. You guys have a good day, and hopefully we'll see you at the game tonight.
All right. Sounds good, Mike. I appreciate it. That's Mike Allhouse, the commissioner of the Indoor Football League. And if you have not seen an indoor football game, if you haven't been to the Heartland Event Center, you are missing out. Be a great game environment tonight. Again, for the third straight season, the Danger are in the intense conference championship game. They'll host a Tri-Cities Fever tonight beginning at 7 o'clock at the Heartland Events Center. And the winner then will play for the championship of the United Bowl on the weekend of July 11th. We're going to take another break, and we'll be wrapping up the Doug and Daddy Show. We come back right after this.
The State Games of America are coming to Nebraska July 28th through August 2nd with 67 sports for athletes of all ages and abilities from across the U.S., spectacular opening ceremonies at Memorial Stadium, and two nights of entertainment at Pinnacle Bank Arena. The State Games of America is a can't-miss event for all Nebraskans. Register at NebraskaSportsCouncil.com. The Nebraska National Guard is a proud sponsor of the State Games of America. Text Guard Games to 95577. To start your guard moment today.
The Village Green at Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village offers seniors a comfortable lifestyle in a caring community. The Village Green is designed to accommodate those who require a little extra. Apartments feature full kitchen, spacious living room, accessible bathroom, and an emergency call system. Services include a noon meal, housekeeping, and transportation. The Village Green can help you maintain your independence with services to keep you safe and healthy. Contact Hastings Village or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
Kick back and relax at the Flatwater Music Festival, June 26th and 27th at Prairie Loft in Hastings. Enjoy a craft beer and listen to live music by award-winning bands from across Nebraska and Colorado. We'll have music on two stages, plus music workshops, kids' activities, games, food trucks, art vendors, and more. Daily admission is only $10, and kids under 12 get in free. Find details at prairieloft.org. See you June 26th and 27th at the Flatwater Music Festival in Hastings.
Hot Rocket Fireworks features family packs that are second to none in the area. Not just for value, but content. Make your celebration a great one that's not only priced right, but has all the bang you're wanting. Family packs are always 20% off. Hot Rocket Fireworks is proud to offer a 20% discount to all veterans on their total purchase. Visit Hot Rocket Fireworks in Kearney, Grand Island, Hastings, Cozad, Gothenburg, Broken Bow, and North Platte. Hot Rocket Fireworks, absolutely the best fireworks available in the U.S.
But you put on quite a show, really had me going. Now it's time to go. Curtains finally closed.
And welcome back here to Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. You know, it's kind of teasing us a little bit, a little sun, maybe just a few hints of rain out there. You can't really count on how much moisture you're going to get unless you have a T&L system. Their GPS navigation corner system is like no other. It's the ultimate in design simplicity. They have real-time kinesmatic accuracy and wheel angle sensor. I don't know what that means, except for it fills your field with water when you need it, where you need it, when you need it, and it's all hooked up to smartphones and Wi-Fi technology, so you don't actually have to go out there and start and stop it. It will continue to run as you want it, when you want it, where you want it, and that is why the choice is simple. Do you need a T&L irrigation system? And you can check out your nearest dealer, all the specifications, the information, all at TLIRR.com, TLIRR.com. The choice is simple. There's T&L irrigation systems because they are like no other. And Jimmy Langan, we're kind of wrapping things up here. There's one other kind of parting shot you want to take
here. Well, I thought, hey, congratulations. I think her name's Bailey Morris. She's from Clay Center, Nebraska. She was not her leading scorer in high school. She played at Silver Lake. She played at Sandy Creek, and she was not the leading scorer for her high school team, but she was at Concordia. She was named the State Player of the Year, and I think she was the Omaha World Herald and Lincoln Journal and Stars Player of the Year.
Yep.
And, you know, what a great, she had over 2,000 points. They made her a score. They found a way to make her score, but what a nice story that, you know, you go out and you've been, and you, she was not a guarantee. When she went to college, she thought, hey, I hope I'm good enough that maybe I can make a team. You know what I mean? And but she was a good high school athlete. But, you know, what a nice honor. And I know her dad is very, very proud of her.
Well, and again, she became the player.
So was her mom.
Yeah, becomes player of the year. through a lot of hard work on her part. So hats off to her. This week, the NHL draft is going on. There's a few Storm players hoping to get their name called and join the list of players from the Storm, the alumni of the Storm, that make their way into the NHL. We certainly wish them the best of luck, as Jim Holton getting close to signing a contract with them as well. So good things happening with the Storm as we kind of wrap up college baseball season. Now kind of getting our attention to the Legion season and moving on to that, because, you know, this time next week we're going to be in July, and July means, you know, the state finals for Legion baseball. So it's all wrapping up real quick.
Yeah, we still got plenty to play, though. It's about half over.
Yeah.
There's a lot of more fun games to go before the real pressure gets on.
Yeah. Go out there and have the fun games before you got to have the tough games.
That's right.
Absolutely. Hey, Jimmy Lang, I appreciate your time, and thanks for joining us today as my co-host.
Yeah, thank you, too.
All right, Dirk Chatelain from the Omaha World Herald, one of our guests, as well as the commissioner of the IFL, Mike Allhouse. Don't forget that the Danger are in town tonight in Grand Island playing for their conference championship, and they'll kick that off at 7 o'clock. And, Doug, hope you enjoy your day today as you get out there and do a little bit of golfing. We'll be back with another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show, 11 o'clock on Monday, right here on ESPN Radio.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.